Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live. The Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. If you tap us, we will load in 4K, which is the new thing on X. How many times have you seen that, by the way?
Oh, my God, it's ridiculous.
And for some reason, I don't see any difference when you do that. Like, the picture doesn't look any different to me. Tap to load in 4K. Like, okay, whatever. But I've seen that more than anything on X. And I wanted to bring up, since this is a social media type of story, and everybody has seen it by now, there was a Green Bay Packer fan that was caught on camera saying really, really horrible things. Philadelphia Eagles fan on camera in Philadelphia saying really, really horrible things to a female Green Bay Packers fan. And he called her an ugly, dumb C word over and over again. And the guy said, don't call her that. And there's video of this. So his face is out there, and the internet finds the guy. They find out where he works. They flood his workplace with all sorts of emails saying, hey, this is your employee. The place ends up firing him. His employer ends up firing him. But there was another wrinkle to this that makes it interesting. Now, in no way can you defend the behavior of the guy. When I saw that, I showed it to you, and I said, how could you just stand there and allow that to happen if that is your wife or your girlfriend or your sister, to have somebody like that, you know, call your, you know, someone who's close to you those words and in that way. Like,
and then do it, then say, double down on it and say, an ugly
DC. Just as bad as it gets.
I mean,
come on. And it's like you just, there's certain things where it's like, okay.
She seemed to be actually handling it okay, actually.
Right.
So I feel like this whole thing was somewhat of a, let's see if we can get this guy in trouble.
This is exactly how it went. So now there is more on this story. So these are two self-proclaimed content creators who have their own YouTube channel that put out a GoFundMe page to send them to the game. And the guy wore a body cam. And, of course, you only see, now, I don't care what any woman does to you or says to you, saying that back to her is not something you say. We get that. I think I can get that out there and everybody understands that. But we only see the clip of him doing that. We don't know if anything was done to instigate. And now these two are being interviewed and the video has gone viral and all of these things. So clearly they went there to get that done.
Yes.
Now, at first, I'm like, well, good. I'm glad this guy lost his job for doing that. But when you find out it's a setup, it's got to change your opinion on it a little bit, no?
Well, the interesting thing is that this guy who's screaming at this girl, the irony is he works for a company that's focused on DEI. That's the other aspect of this story that just, I was like, of course. Whatever he did for that company, I don't know if he's actually within the, making the decisions within DEI, but if he is, he's not acting that way here on these videos. Yeah, but to me, that when I first saw the video, when you first showed it to me, I just thought that the woman in question here, the way she was reacting to it was just really, really, like, didn't tell me that she felt threatened in any way.
Okay.
So like, I didn't sense that she was all that mad about it.
Yeah. I mean, it was, and to me, it's not so much the focus on the woman, but like the guy next to her and him going, don't do that. Don't call her those names. And, you know, and then
the way the whole thing sounded and her reaction to it made me think that there was a little bit more to the story.
Yeah, well, there certainly is, and this guy definitely went off his rocker, and I guess, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, all right, you know, you go to Philadelphia, you wear other teams' clothing, the opposing team's jerseys, and maybe you cheer a little bit, maybe instigate, get in a fan's face, like, that's going to happen.
Do we know for a fact that they are actually Packer fans?
Al, do you know that answer? Are they actually Packer fans?
I think they are Packer fans because they referenced in one of their things about that he's had his cheese head torn off him in the past. So it seems like,
just because they say it doesn't mean that they are.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like they are, but who knows?
Yeah. So it's just they knew what they were going to get. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, you rile up a dog or you do something to a certain animal, they're going to react in a certain way. Philadelphia sports fan.
So they got this guy all charged up for whatever reason. I don't know why. Let me ask you this. Is the guy, and you showed me this tape yesterday, I'm just wondering, is the guy reacting to the girl just because she's cheering for her team? Or
we don't know.
Is there something else that happened prior to the cameras being on, or is the overall video edited?
We don't know. The only clip that is out there is the clip that's out there and the clip that you saw. So I don't know if they baited him into this even more so. But you know what's interesting about this is the Philadelphia media and the fans as a whole used to years ago wear this as a badge of honor. They no longer do that. They actually hate it. So in reading a lot of these articles, they were so upset before they found out that part of this was a setup, but they were so upset that this one Eagles fan had set them back all these years now because they didn't like the reputation that they had, that they were so crazy and so bad and you couldn't come to the city and all of that. They used to be proud of that. And now it seems like they're not proud of that.
But now with the other twist to the story that it feels and looks like and you kind of sense, you can't confirm it, is it a setup?
Well, I mean, it was a setup.
All right, so it is a setup.
The guy's wearing a body cam, right?
All right, so now that, you know, you have confirmed that it's a setup.
Well, I haven't confirmed it. I mean, well, I think everybody else did, and we're just reacting
right, well,
to
so
it.
So somebody confirmed it,
yeah,
or believes that it is a setup. Now what happens?
I mean, I still think he loses his job because if you're someone who employs that guy, especially in that type of company, you say, I don't care what they said to you. You cannot talk to a woman like that and be a part of our company. So I don't think anything happens to the guy.
I mean, how about if the guy came in and said, man, you have no idea what the hell they were saying to me before this because it's not on tape. How about if he had that argument?
All right. So I always think about these situations like if I were having a conversation with our big boss here, and then like that was what I would say back to him, they would go, still not an excuse. Not an excuse. You got to be better than that. You represent the company. There's everything. You're involved, your reputation, our reputation. You sit next to Boomer, don't touch the money. There'd be a million things that he would say to me.
All right, you're right.
So you got to be the better person.
But does it make the person who ended up losing his job due to this setup video, does it Does it give you a different feeling about the two people that...
Yes.
All right, it does. Okay, so that feeling now has changed.
For sure.
As if they were just innocent bystanders
right.
that were dealing with a heckling incident. Now, all of a sudden, they're the ones that created the environment to have this happen.
Right. I mean, it would be almost like... We see a lot of people out on the streets here around the building that live on the streets, homeless people, that will walk by many times and don't say anything to, and they don't do anything to us. It would be like me wanting to prove a point about there's too many homeless people out here and I'm not safe. Like going up to somebody who's on the street, kicking them a couple of times, screaming in their face, and then when they get up and start running towards me, I put the camera on, film that, and then put it out. See, I'm not safe. I'm not safe at all. That's what it would be like. And yeah, this is a homeless person who might have a mental illness who was, you know, doing something that appeared violent, but it was for a reason. And it does change the way, the prism in which you look at these things. It does. Especially when the guy's wearing a body cam going into the thing because he's a content creator that wants to capture this on film to make himself famous.
And he also is egging the guy on.
They're all scumbags. He's a scumbag and that couple, scumbags. We got a full-blown blanket. I'm taking the scumbag blanket and I'm throwing it over to three of them.
That's the scumbags. All right. Okay, I get it.
Do you agree?
I do. I mean, like the fact that they're content creators and doing this and doing it with such, like, there's just such a matter-of-fact way about the way they're going about this.
Yeah.
That's what I was like, this can't be real because she's got to be ticked off and she's not.
Well, she is not even, it's the guy. That's the thing.
Because the guy that's viewing it, and he's the one that's basically saying to the guy, don't call her that, stop calling her that, as opposed to, if it were one of us, we actually throw a beer on the guy or something, or go slam the guy or whatever, depending on how big he was.
Yeah, well, Al had a plan. Al said that because the guy was above him, you know, he would grab him and then pull him down.
And drunk. So you could grab them, throw them down,
yeah.
Get it into a little fracas, and hopefully it gets broken up before you get punched.
True. Smart.
That's a good plan. I mean, yeah, that's a good plan by you, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's been, you know, times where, you know, I've gone after people, and there hasn't been really any response back. And I got to, after watching this and seeing how this unfolded, I got to, you know, in my own personal time when I'm out there,
yeah,
I got to be careful because, you know, maybe I could be the next one of these guys.
Skinny, vegan, hipster.
You know?
Yes.
Sometimes I get out over my skis.
You did get out over your skis that night, but you were actually saying it to a guy.
I was. Of course, I'm kidding. I don't.
From Philadelphia.
Right, a guy from Philadelphia. Who ended up being, who was my boss at the time.
That's your error.
Yeah. So, no, of course, I'm not doing that all the time. That was for entertainment. I was on stage and being facetious, but I just kind of wanted to hear that drop anyway. You know what I mean?
That's one of your finer moments.
I think so.
Yes.
Not a lot of people could say that.
And that was the first one.
That was the first one.
You guys make fun of me in the first one.
Well, yeah, because you were...
So were you.
Yeah, okay. Time out. You did not finish the show. You slipped and fell. You injured yourself. I had a funny moment of saying that. I was out there. It was Geo Live at the end of that because you couldn't make the end of the show. And you fell into the drum set, yes. You dick. So, yes, I had some fun.
Oh, man.
But I was there finishing the game.
I will say, I will never, ever forget Boomer and Geo Live 1.
Well, you did because you blacked out.
No, but what I'm saying, I'll never forget the way the whole thing, because I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
You guys kept me out of the meetings.
Yeah, well, yes. Just like the other ones.
Yeah.
Well, it's not even so much that you just don't want to be a part of the meetings either. You have to, if you're busy, you got to leave. You don't want to sit in there, do you?
Yeah, I don't know.
You had that cold sore and you kissed my face too.
That's right. I did have a cold sore that night.
And you kissed me on the cheek. And right. I said, man, right before we went out, you grabbed my face. You kissed me on the cheek with that cold sore. So I took a little bit of that Casamigos and I
rubbed it on the side of my face to kill those germs, you know what I'm saying? there you go. All right, let's go to Matt in Staten Island. He's got to take on this whole Eagles fan situation. What's going on, Matt?
What's going on, boys? How are you today?
Good, Matt. What's up?
All right, here's the situation. After listening to this whole thing, I have a little bit of a comment on Al's plan to go over and try and pull him down. That's the worst plan possible. If you think from a military standpoint and you're in a battle and you got the mountains and you got the valley, you always take the high land, especially if you're the weaker force. Al is a very gangy kind of guy. He's got to take the high land. Bad plan by Al.
Yeah, plus Al has osteoporosis. He's got bad bones.
Yeah.
He's got bad bones. But I understand in this situation, Al sees a drunk guy that's kind of sloppy and he's leaning over and things of that nature. Al's assuming that he's going to be, you know, not drinking, that you're going to be of sound mind.
Yeah, and solid, like really plant my feet in the ground.
And you have this plan that you're just going to pull this drunk guy down. And if you snap his neck and then he goes and he becomes paralyzed, you probably end up getting sued. So,
probably.
Yeah. And they get charged with assault and all sorts of things. Depends that's on, the problem.
Yeah, I mean, if it happens in New York, you're going to jail.
But I also get out right away.
Maybe not in this case. Not because of who you are.
Yeah. Well, Al also said he was going to go, hey, can I just talk to you for a second and get the guy to lean down? And then, wah.
And he's got the chair in between. The bench, and that's an obstacle.
And if you get the guy in between the two rows, and you stand on him, there's no way he's getting up.
And then he said, I hope that the fight gets broken up at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing else.
Jerry said, though, that there could have been many other friends of that guy, though, who's going to get involved in pummel me, so who knows?
It's not a good situation to be in.
You have to take a full assessment of everything around you. And if you realize it's just him screaming and maybe he's with his wife, then you can pull him down.
Yeah, but even people don't know him. They see one dork in a cowboy hat going after somebody in Philadelphia. Yeah. That guy's dead.
Probably, especially with gangly osteoporosis.
Yes, exactly.
It was described.
What part of the DEI company do you think he worked in?
Do you think
it was in HR?
I don't know, man. He's not doing it anymore. It's all...
The dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth of the Sing of Truth podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 8724, the fan, Boomer and Geo. Getting ready for a Jerry Recco update. Where you been, Geo? What have you been doing? What's the matter? You okay? Your knee okay? You're limping. Why are you limping? You all right?
No, I told you yesterday. My knee's a mess.
I mean, you look like a mess.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, you are walking around here like
I'm limping, yes. I mean, like I told you. You got it. Yes, I'm limping. Yes.
All right, your knee's all locked up again still?
Yes, it's swollen and I can't bend it. And I asked Eddie, do I have enough time to get a glass of water right there? And he goes, yes. And then as I'm coming back, I hear the music playing. You go, what's going on with your knee? I'm like, oh, God.
I didn't have enough time. I didn't factor in your mobility issues. Yeah. I thought 30 seconds would be enough time.
No, it was not.
Hey, by the way, just to go back to that video of that Philadelphia Eagle fan, you know, obviously reading the stories from so many different perspectives.
Yeah.
The woman in the video is pretending to cry.
Okay, so another strike for them.
At least that's interpreted, that her performance was interpreted that way.
Yeah, well, they got what they wanted, that's for sure. They went in there, they had the right bait, caught the big fish.
Yep, they did.
And now we're finding out it was illegal bait.
Fugazis.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Jerry, what is happening?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. There's another incident from, I believe it was Pittsburgh on Sunday that I was just reading.
Oh, with the
kid and the guy?
Game? Yeah.
Apparently, a puck got lodged between the net and the glass. No one could get it. And this kid comes up, and whatever he did, the puck dislodged, falls to the ground, and the guy came over and took it right before he was going to grab it, to where the crowd got on the guy. They ultimately escorted him out to where he was apparently belligerent with the cops, everybody on the way out, and then one of the players' wives came over and gave the kid a autographed stick and puck.
Oh, there you go. Worked out great relation for the kid, because it's always for the children.
So the guy never caved, huh?
I don't think he did. I think he was escorted out and was completely ticked off the whole way.
Wow.
Just totally didn't understand it.
That's a world-class a-hole.
It looks like a grandfather and a grandkid.
Jeez.
It's not a good look.
Maybe he was bringing it home to his kid or his grandkid.
The story said he wanted to give it to his adult granddaughter.
Ah.
Those are the story. Those are the words that were in the story.
Be like, so, you know what? I was this close, adult granddaughter, to getting you a puck, but then there was a little kid there.
Well, he got the puck, though.
Yeah, I mean, adult granddaughter.
What can I tell you?
Buy her a puck.
Exactly, yes. Keeping it to Pittsburgh, here's Mike Tomlin yesterday with the media. Yeah, we're done. It was one and out in the playoffs, but you know what? We earned the early ouster.
There's not a lot of misfortune in this business. Ultimately, you get what you got coming to you. As uncomfortable as it is, there better be growth in it for us individually and collectively in the effort to make sure 2025 doesn't end in a similar way.
Now, going forward, he does ultimately believe they'll be okay.
It's important that we recognize that although we have some ills and certainly a lot of things to address, we do have some really solid foundational things to build upon.
And so there were parts of this where, you know, he seemed really ticked off, other kind of optimistic. And one of the reporters is like, you know, you seem positive. How come? Longer answer.
You know, I don't know that I'm ready to be overly optimistic or sell optimism to you either. I'm just acknowledging what transpired and what has to happen and what is beginning to happen and acknowledging the complexity and the amount of work that's ahead of us. Certainly feel capable, but definitely doesn't feel in the mood for optimism or the selling of optimism. I don't know that that's appropriate.
Interesting. So they've got a lot of decisions to make.
So this is the first time. So with Chuck Knoll, it was clear that he was old at that point. He probably might have wanted to coach a little longer, but it was just one of those, all right, it's time now to do something else. With Bill Cowher, of course, he was still very young, but he decided, hey, I don't want to coach.
That was his decision. Plus, he also had his wife's situation.
Right.
Yes.
So there was that. With Mike Tomlin, this is completely different than those two situations.
But I would also say, you know, if he were, you know, 4-13, I could understand. I mean, he took his team to the playoffs again. And I know for the Pittsburgh fan, I'm sure, that's not good enough. That's, you know, they see themselves as being a much better team than that and should be deeper into the playoffs. And that's why I think there's all this discussion about whether or not it's becoming stale out there, or should they trade for him or another team trade for him. You know, all of that rhetoric that is around him right now, Jet fans would love to have a guy like him.
Oh, sure. I think most teams would, but there are some times, as you mentioned earlier, Andy Reid got fired from the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, there's guys that just, there's just the end of the tenure is there, and it might be better for the organization to go in a different direction and that guy to go in a different direction. But the way that the Steelers do business and how much Mike Tomlin loves that job, it's just another one of these deals where if you have a great quarterback in your prime, it's one thing. If you don't and you're searching for that guy, it's another. It is a testament to him that he's been dealing with this quarterback slop and he still has never had a losing season. If they can find that guy, then all of a sudden they're winning playoff games again.
Right. So he was asked, how do you close the gap exactly?
I think I'm just at the very early stages of unearthing that. To be quite honest with you, I acknowledge that, you know, we got some things to unearth.
That was a big phrase, a big word he used the entire time.
That's like he's acknowledging about or unearthing.
Unearthing.
Well, he's like always he's acknowledging something.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like he's talking about CeeLo's cyst.
No. Oh.
We're going to unearth the penile cyst. There may be bones in there, tooth in there, hair in there, and obviously pus.
Ugh.
But we're going to unearth that thing, and we're going to sew it up. And the pain will be gone 3 to 4 days.
Gross.
Oh, man. So that's what's going on in Pittsburgh. In Green Bay, they're picking up the pieces to their loss to the Eagles. Matt LaFleur, thoughts of Jordan Love and his season?
But there was a lot of great moments. You know, every year is going to be a little bit different. The one thing that I'm so impressed by when I watch him play is just his ability to avoid the sacks.
Okay, well, they didn't win, and they look like
now
different than they did the way
the interceptions.
Year.
He'll be fine.
That too. Chiefs Texans on Saturday to get things started. Here's Patrick Mahomes. So his wife had a baby, and he was still able to keep up on what was going on in the playoffs.
It was cool that football was on TV when I was in the hospital, so I got to watch a little bit. And so Brittany was kind enough to let us watch football as she was getting ready to give birth to our second daughter.
He was asked if it was easier this time around. You know, you've done it as parents already.
I don't even want to say that because, like, it's Brittany's doing everything, so I'm just trying to be supportive. So, no, it was cool that we got the bye just because you can kind of really focus in on just being at the hospital, being in the moment, and it's a special moment that I know a lot of dads and moms have experienced, and you don't forget about that stuff. So I'm glad I was able to be there and support in the best way I can.
He's so good even that happens when he's got time for it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, his career in the divisional rounds, 6-0 on CBS Sports Network right now, completes 70% of his passes, averages 302 yards per game, 16 total touchdowns in 6 games, and no turnovers. That's
how you win a lot of games.
That's pretty damn impressive.
Woof! Pretty good. One more from Nick Sirianni on WIP about the A.J. Brown thing. So he goes into more detail as to why this is not a big deal at all with the book on the sideline.
Everybody has their own way. We talk so much about dog mentality, playing the next play, focusing your mind so you on what you're about to do so you can play with great effort and great detail. And some guys pray, you know, in between. Some guys meditate in between. Some guys, you know, AJ reads in between.
Wow. I've never heard of anything like this, but I was like, could I bring out my video game and play video games in between the series?
If that's going to give you the dog mentality, it sounds like that's fine.
Wow. It's crazy. It really is. I
think you could listen to Tony Robbins if you'd like on the sidelines.
Yeah. I mean, the guys listening, I don't think I see guys putting headphones in and listening to music on the bench.
Pre-game, I've never seen it during a game.
I mean, that's just as bizarre as the book, wouldn't it? Because you're not even paying attention to what's going around you.
I've never seen this. I never heard him ever doing this. Nobody's ever seen him do this. And when you couple that with the fact that he had one ball thrown his way, maybe two, but he caught one pass.
It's too bad it wasn't like a smut novel. That would have been better.
Stupid.
You know, with a picture of like a Fabio and some big boobed woman.
Horny whores.
Yeah, right.
And Burkhart and Brady are looking at it on the way back from break.
Oh, he's reading Horny Horse. That helped me actually win our first Super Bowl in 2001 against the greatest show on turf. And I graduated to other things. But.
Oh, man. The Nets beat the Blazers 132-114. Cam Johnson, a team high, 24. Jordy Fernandez loved what he saw.
Proud of the guys, like you said, not overreacting and then sticking with what we're trying to do. And it was a good win for our group. We needed that.
Noah Clowney and Keon Johnson, 20 points apiece. The Nets now 14-26. on the season. The Mavericks lost to the Nuggets last night in Dallas, 118-99. Jamal Murray at 45, Nikola Jokic a triple-double, 10-14-10. During the game, this game was on TNT, Deion Sanders posted on X, quote, "I need that blazer that Greg Anthony has on tonight on TNT." And so word got to the guys, Ian was doing the game with Greg Anthony.
And apparently Jared is now taking your jacket.
I think he'll give it to Shador to give it to his dad.
He's giving it to Shador. Shador is very perplexed. Jared is now explaining to him, your dad tweeted that he's going to want that jacket. Jared is saying, take the jacket. Shador said, for real? He said, yes.
Yeah, Shador Sanders was sitting courtside. Jared Greenberg brings the jacket over, and now people are speculating why Shador Sanders in Dallas with all the rumors about Deion and the Cowboys and Jerry Jones. I wouldn't know. That I'm not sure of.
Well, didn't he have the Prime Academy there and everything? And
was
I'm
that
assuming
that? I thought that shut down, didn't it?
It did. Well, it got in trouble, financial trouble.
But I don't know if he grew up there, though, or that was because he played there. I'm not sure why that was there.
He might be born in Dallas.
He might be. I don't know. But that
was the Prime Academy a school, Jerry? I know you haven't.
It was not a school. The Cavaliers topped the Pacers 127-117. Get back to their winning ways. They're now 34-5, and the Thunder win again. Beat the Sixers in Philadelphia 118-102. Knicks in Philly tonight. The Nets are in Los Angeles against the Clippers. We'll have it on the Fan at 10:30. Coverage at 10:20. At the Garden, St. John's with another good win.
18 seconds to shoot, 29 seconds to play. RJ, acceleration down the right side, the lane scoops it up and in! RJ Lewis puts St. John's ahead, 63-58.
A fired up John Minko on St. John's radio.
Reduce sex drive.
Okay, they win by that 63-58 score. They're now 15-3. Lewis had 19 points. Aaron Scott, 14-9 rebounds. Tonight, Seton Hall plays at Butler. You've got Fordham taking on UMass. The Avalanche were trailing the Rangers 2-1 in the third. They get a late goal to tie, and then...
Down low, O'Connor. Knocked away with a stick by Shesterkin. O'Connor, back to the point. Set up for Kane. He scores!
And that was the game winner... in overtime. Sam Rosen on MSG. Yeah. 3-2 was the final. Here's Peter Laviolette. Sucks to just get 1 point.
Frustrating part about it is to play so well for the 58 and then not to capitalize. It was just the guys played hard the entire night. It was a hard fought game for us and didn't get the results that we wanted.
And only got the 1 point. And the Senators shut out the Islanders 2-0. That game was in Ottawa. Here is their head coach, the Islanders head coach, Patrick Waugh. Not easy making that trip and playing there.
It's a time change, obviously. I mean, it's hard to adjust to the 2 hours, 3 hours. And, but what? At the same time, there's no excuse. We have to. We have to.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, there's no excuses. But 2-0 was the final of that game. And the Panthers beat the Devils in a shootout 2-1. Nico Hischier did score in the third after Florida had opened the scoring to tie it. And then they lose in the shootout.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So I've been watching a lot of these sandbagger videos. It's Spittin' Chicklets guys that do the hockey podcast. It's Paul Bissonnette and Ryan Whitney. And they had Timo Solani on. It was a guy who's an all-time goal scorer in the NHL. And he was telling all these stories about playing in the 90s. And he said that when he came off the ice, they used to have in the locker room a giant circular cooler that was filled with beer after every home game. And they obviously don't do that anymore. But, like, did you guys ever have anything like that in the NFL? Like, the second you came off the field, win or lose, there was just a...
Well, we didn't. The Bengals didn't. But, I know when we were on the road, we used to pay... the guys that would manage the locker rooms for the away games.
Yeah.
We'd give them some money and they'd always have like some beers waiting for us in a, like in a plastic bag with ice.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You'd be able to have a beer or two on the way back to the plane. And there were always guys that were bringing stuff on the plane with them.
Oh, yeah, sure. But I just,
that image to me was crazy because I did cover some hockey when I was out in Pittsburgh. I'd go into the Penguins locker room and these guys would be, you know, already getting a massage from the trainer. They'd be doing some extra work or whatever it would be. Or they go, you know, and it was just so intense. Like it felt like it never stopped with them.
The difference between them and us, and I would say the same thing for baseball and basketball, is that, you know, we had a normal job.
Yeah.
Most of our games were on Sundays. And you would, if you had an away game, most of the time you left on a Saturday before the Sunday game, and then you came home Sunday night, and then you had a normal week at home. And it was like a normal job, believe it or not, in regards to your scheduling. Like, you'd have a normal dinner at home. You'd have Friday night, you'd be going out. I mean, that kind of thing. Sunday night, maybe, you know, if it was a 1 o'clock home game, you'd end up going out Sunday night, that kind of thing, because you'd have a half a day Monday. Your off day would be Tuesday. But these guys, the difference is that they go on road trips.
Yeah.
And they go on long road trips. So sometimes a baseball team can go on a 10-game road trip or a hockey team can go on a 6-game road trip out west. You know, the families are not with them. So it's a guy's trip.
Yeah.
It's essentially what it is.
Yep.
So there's a lot more crap that can happen.
Yeah, I mean, I love all the old stories. I mean, I know, I guess you're a fan of a team. You want your guys to be as conditioned as possible, as locked in as possible to win a championship and all of these things that you want. And what the guys are today, most of them, 98% of them are just so locked in. It's a year-round job. It's 365. It's all the working out. Not that guys don't have fun, but some guys are like Tom Brady and, you know, some guys are like John Daly. But the fact that there's like these old like stories from the 80s and 90s, but with the professional athletes just being just more like regular guys as opposed to these fine-tuned machines. I could listen to that.
The money was different, too.
Yeah, true.
You know, I mean, although I will say that the guys like in the Brad Richards era, you know, Brad hit it three different times with his contract.
Sure.
And they made more money, believe it. I felt like they made a lot more money back then than they do now. Because of the salary cap and everything else, and other teams would be willing to spend as much. The Rangers would spend as much money as they possibly could. So, I think that the numbers have been down. But, you know, like a guy like Ryan Whitney, I think he had like a 10-year career, maybe played 500 games.
Yeah, it's a lot of games.
It is.
Yeah.
Probably played on 3 or 4 different teams, if I remember correctly. And, you know, so when you play on that many teams with that many different teammates, that's where the personality comes from.
Oh, for sure. I'm telling you, you guys, you and Matt Martin need to go on that show with those guys. It would be perfect. There's nothing more up your alley than that. You know, two ex-NHL guys playing golf, busting balls, going up in the competition. It is perfect. Like, and I wish I could be a part of it, but obviously it wouldn't make any sense because I'm not an ex-NHL guy. But you definitely be it, you, and then with Matt and the whole thing. I don't think you could bring, like, there's other guys, too, that are like Cal's really, really good. I don't know if you could bring him because it would be almost like a blowout in that situation.
But he's too good?
I think he's too good. Yeah. But Whitney's really good, but Biz, not as much.
Yeah, but, you know, Biz plays into his character.
No, he definitely does. No, it is tremendous. But, yeah, so I was thinking, like, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of us, you know, we have to drive, so you can't end up doing any drinking at the end of these shows. But for those who, like, take the train or whatever, I was thinking just for a morale boost, I was going to stick, like, a big cooler of beers out into the newsroom, you know, and just grab one on the way out.
See what happens,
know?
Yeah.
You know, all the people that get on the subway, take the train home, so you're not driving. Just fill it up with some Labatt Blues or something.
Yeah, but the problem is that, you know, it's just really the five of us that hang out together. And maybe Izzo, so maybe we'll throw a sixth in there.
Yeah, but I'm talking about all day long. You know, it's cooler with the ice. You know, midday guys get done. You know, BT grabs one, cracks one open, you know. Just some great morale. Like, we got done with the day. We got done with the show. Feel good. Little cheers. You're on your way. I think Sal's a train guy. Be perfect.
Yeah, if you were a train guy, that's one thing. But, you know, for most of us, we're not.
We got to do something right. For the most of us, we are not. We got to get a morale boost situation going on out.
Why? Well, I don't necessarily feel like the morale is down.
No, I just feel it's not down. It's fine, but there's like in the winter time like this, the little doldrums need like something. We always talk about having a dog here, and I thought about having the big cooler filled with beer, like something that we could actually get away with in the newsroom. That'd be fun.
Listen, we're not
golf
getting...
golf simulator.
I could just tell you, we are not getting away with anything.
Why not?
We're just not.
Well, they got that little Papa Shot back in BT and Sal's office. Why don't we get something? We can put a golf simulator in here. It'd be great. Everybody swing and have a good time.
Yeah, but I guess you, me, and Jerry like golf. What are you going to do for Eddie and Al?
We'll find something for them.
They'll go up to HR and say, how come they're getting something?
No, they
we're
won't.
Not getting it. Yeah. Oh, yes, they will. That,
you telling me they're going to go up to HR, those guys?
At the one radio station I worked at, we had a foosball table.
See, that'd be fun. Shuffleboard, something like that.
A little bubble hockey.
Yeah, ping pong table.
Yeah.
Bubble hockey.
You know who loves bubble hockey is Cassie.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's good. Loves bubble hockey. He's 3 years old, and all he wants to do is play bubble hockey.
Does he like real hockey as well?
He loves real hockey. He's starting 3 years old. He's already
really?
Up in that Rising Stars program up in Connecticut.
Rising Stars already?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Kid's already up on his skates.
Is he like watching it?
Yeah, a little bit. Not much yet, but you know, he loves playing it.
Sure.
Do you have your first memory of like your first sporting event that like you're like, all right, that was the time. Like I remember that. My first sports memory. Mine, unfortunately, was Game 7 of the 1988 NLCS when the Dodgers beat the Mets.
Wow, and you went to the game?
No, I did not. I was 6 years old. I did not go to the game.
First sports memory. I remember going to the Garden in 1968 when it opened. Now, I was 7 years old. I do remember sitting in the corner. I there was a Budweiser sign. I forget the sign that we were sitting above. I think now there's a Budweiser sign there. And I remember those were the seats that my dad were able to get through his company like maybe 3 or 4 times a year.
Yeah.
And I do remember going to those games and remember what it felt like, you know, seeing a hockey game live back then.
Sure.
And now it's about 100 times faster than it was back then.
But do you remember that at 7? See, mine was 6. Yours was 7. Eddie, you got one?
1975 Mets Padres at Shea was my first game.
And so you remember that, but nothing on TV prior to that? Mine was on TV, my first memory. Sports memory.
The Sea of Hands game.
Oh, okay.
I would say the most memorable thing for me on TV was Willis Reed coming out in Game 7 against the Lakers.
Oh, sure. But I'm talking about, I just want to see how young you were for your first sports
memory. I was eight years old for that.
Al, you got one?
Yeah, Super Bowl 10, so I was 7. Steelers, Cowboys, Roger Staubach.
That seems to be like the time you remember things, 6, 7 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like 7 plus.
Yeah, and look at how that shaped our lives, guys. Amazing.
Oh, it shaped our lives.
It certainly did.
Well, that made me a Dolphin fan forever. I could have gone either way, but I stuck with them because they lost that game.
Yeah. Well, you got to see a Super Bowl, right?
No, I got to see two Super Bowl losses.
That's right. So they won,
won 7 and 8.
Yeah, okay. Huh. Tough spot for you there. Join the club.
But I had the 86 Mets.
You did, which I did not. And Boomer's a guy who's experienced 69. It's Boomer.
I'm one of those guys that experienced 69.
Nine.